I'm excited to get to share with you today. We're going to go to Psalm 37 in just a moment. If you want to flip there in your Bible, you can. If you want to click there, however you read the Bible and read along, feel free to jump there now. Read this with me. Don't take my word for it. Sometimes I think one of the greatest things we could do as a pastor is just get you to read your Bible more. So we're going to be reading. I'm going to be out of the New Living Translation today. So if it reads a little bit different than yours, that's why. Or you can click the version up there and change it to the New Living Translation if you want to. But my message today that I want to share with you is this. It's called Double Down. I know some of you are like, wait, we're talking about gambling today? I know. Hold on. Although some of you may question my parenting skills after I open this message up. So one of the things that I've done as a father is I taught my kids how to play the game 21. All right. Okay. A few of you, the rest of you are like, oh, the pastor taught his kids how to play 21. Like for starters, one, like it's a good math game. All right. They can learn numbers and learn how to add. Nothing wrong with that. Although I will confess that we did play with rolls of pennies because I also wanted to make my kids understand that like this can be bad if you don't know what you're doing. And I'm going to enjoy taking all of your money while you learn and watching you cry a little bit when I'm done. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am as a father. Any other dads out there, like you can't kind of enjoy it just a little bit. Okay, a few of you. All right, I don't quite feel so bad. Man, if you're watching online, you can throw that little hand emoji up if you're one of those dads and all of the moms are out there. Oh, like, I know how this works. And so we would sit down, we would play the game of 21, and I would teach my kids when they were little, and we all had this stack of pennies, and my goal was to take all of their pennies. You know, I mean, like, it was like a whopping $2 by the time we're done, all right? We're not talking anything huge. But one of the things that I learned when it came to my kids is I found a way, as they started to get the game, to make it more difficult for them. And the way to do that was to simply increase the investment to keep playing this game. When I would double down on what I thought was a good hand and you had to up the ante to keep playing, suddenly that number that my kids may have wanted to play with, they started second guessing whether they wanted to stay in the game. Like, oh, I don't know if I can give up 10 pennies on this one, Dad. So isn't it funny how we can get people to begin to question things that they trust when it begins to cost a little bit more to trust? And so, trust me, I'm teaching my kids some life lessons while I play 21. I promise they won't grow up to be gambling addicts, at least not on my part. If they do, I'll stop some of you. I was going to say I'll whip that out of them, but some of you are like, no, you can't do that. Like, we'll deal with that at home. How about that? So, it's amazing, though, that as things begin to cost a little bit more, suddenly things that we trust, we begin to question. And for me, I think one of those things that starts to get in the way that I begin to struggle with is that idea of doubling down, because it's more than just doubling down in terms of doubling the bet after you see the cards. It's also a saying that literally means to strengthen your commitment to a strategy or a course of action. And that if we've ever needed a moment where we need to double down on some things, it's this moment in history that we live. That whatever 2020 was and whatever 2021 will be, there are some things that we need to double down on. There are some things that we need to strengthen our commitment to. And one of the things that I think often gets in the way of us doubling down on things that we should commit to is worry. Like some of us, if we're honest, maybe you're not like me, but I struggle oftentimes with worry. Like there are moments where things begin to happen that worry creeps into my life and into my heart, and it begins to get me to question whether I want to press on. And the problem is worry begins to damage so many things. There's a reason the Bible talks about it so much. There's a reason in Philippians 4 that the scripture says that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind, because the reality is he says, worry about nothing but pray about everything. That there is this thing about worry that costs so much, because worry costs marriages, worry costs families and relationships, because suddenly things that we shouldn't be worried about, we worry about, and instead of investing in that relationship, we begin to pursue the things that we're worried about, and somewhere along the way, we sacrifice that relationship. That worry has a cost that most of us don't take into consideration, and worry begins to cost you peace and joy. Anybody that's a worrier out there, would you say, man, worry costs me peace and joy in my life? That there are nights where you lay in bed and your head is running wild with all of the things that could go wrong or may go wrong or this could happen or that could happen, and suddenly all that peace and joy that Jesus promised you is gone, and instead you're left stressed and worried and feeling kind of weak and helpless. Worry comes at a cost. It ultimately damages your relationship with Jesus, if we'll be really honest, because the reality is every time we allow ourselves to go down that path of worry, we're essentially not trusting God with something that we should be trusting God with. We're essentially, when we're worrying, saying, you know what, God, I don't know if you're good enough to come through here. Like, we would never say that out loud, but if we stay on that path of worry, that's essentially what we're doing somewhere along the way. And so today, what I want to do is this. I want to challenge you to double down on Jesus every time. Then I think if there's one thing that we could do in 2021, it is going to be double down on Jesus every time. You flip those cards over and it says, Jesus, double down on that bet every time. You want to know why? Because it's never a bet when you double down on Jesus. It's a sure thing. It's never a gamble when it comes to Jesus. You know why Jesus went to the cross? Because it wasn't a gamble. It was the will of the Father, and he knew that God was in control of all of this. He knew what would come out the other side, and even though it was painful in the moment, he was willing to go through with it because he knew what the end would hold. And in life, so many times, we allow worry to rob us of the sure thing that God has for us. And that's why we need to double down on Jesus every time. And that's what he says in Psalm 37. He's addressing, that David is, this idea of worry and then how we respond to worry so that we don't allow it to control our life. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. But what does he say to do? Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And again, don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. If there's ever a moment where we could say that maybe God has a message for us, I would say this scripture applies rather timely to the season that we find ourselves in. Because it would be very easy in this moment to worry about the wicked schemes and what they may be up to. That we all could admit in some way that there's things that we see about people that concern us, because when the wicked get in power, we worry. We worry about the decisions that they'll make. We worry about the influences that they'll have. We worry about what the future may look like the longer that they stay in a place of influence. Or we start to envy them because we see them making all of the wrong decisions and yet benefiting all of the right ways. And so we decide, if doing wrong gets me that and doing right doesn't, I'm done doing the right thing. I'm going to start doing what they do so I can get what they've got. And so David kind of has this moment where he's like, don't worry about the wicked. And don't envy what they have. Don't worry about what we see in the world around us, even though it seems like people that concern us may be rising in power or influence, because what did he say? In the end, they're going to fade. In the end, their time is coming. And so many times we look at the moment, and Jesus is saying, no, I'm looking at eternity. And that's how David could say something like, don't worry about them. And don't worry about what they're doing. I know you see the moment, but I already see 1,000 years from now. In fact, Jesus already sees 10,000 years from now. And this little moment that is a short season isn't going to mean much 10,000 years from now. Why? Because he's still in control. He's got this. And so he kind of gives us this challenge. What do we do instead of worry? He gives us, in my opinion, three things that we can double down on. And the first one is trust. That's what he said in verse 3. He doubled down on trust. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Notice what he said, trust in the Lord. Notice what he did not say, trust in yourself. Don't trust in what you think is right. Don't trust in the outcome that you thought God should have made happen. Because guess who's God and who's not? But he did say, trust in the Lord. And that word trust, if you look up what it means, it means to rely on the Lord, to have confidence in the Lord. How many of you guys could use a little bit more confidence? Let me tell you the best place to put your confidence in the Lord. In this season where we want to do a lot of things, where some of us wish that we could have bought some stock that was worth nothing and suddenly became worth everything because somebody made a post on Reddit about it, right? Let me tell you the best place you can invest in right now. Jesus. Double down on Jesus. Trust in him. And so how do we develop trust in Jesus? Like, that's the challenge, right? Like, it's so easy to say, don't worry, but do you realize how useless that is to somebody who worries? Just stop worrying. If it was that easy, oh yeah, sorry, I'll just stop. Like, but you know, here's what I think he gives us in this scripture. He gives us a couple of things. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Here's what I think. I think trust becomes real when we put into action what we claim to trust. See, a lot of people say they trust Jesus until the rubber meets the road, and then suddenly they begin to question whether they trust Jesus. But Jesus is simply saying, trust in me so much that you're willing to go do the thing that I said to do. That trust becomes real when we put into action what we claim to trust. And if we claim to trust Jesus, then the actions of Jesus ought to come out of our life. We do this all the time, and we don't even realize it. Like, do you realize when you came here today the amount of trust that you put in the brakes of your vehicle as you drove here and probably never thought about it? Do you know what happens under the hood of your vehicle when you push that pedal? All of the things that some engineer has designed so that the fluid goes out and those pads come down and they squeeze the rotor on your tires and slow your vehicle down for you. And I bet you never even thought about all of that. You just drove your vehicle enough that the action of pushing the brake pedal, you trusted that your vehicle was going to stop. And most of us know that because you've had that moment of panic when you pushed the brakes and it went all the way to the floor. How do we know you trust? Because of the action you took to get in that vehicle. You didn't check, anybody check your brake fluid this morning? Like, I'm just curious. If you're watching online and you checked your brake fluid, like, raise your hand now. Like, I want to go find you later on and talk to you. Anybody, like, take the tires off and look at your pads to make sure the brakes were good this morning before? No. We just trusted that all that stuff was going to work. You trusted today when you came into church and sat down, or when you are sitting in your recliner at home and you kicked that thing back to sit down, you exhibited a lot of trust. I bet you didn't flip that chair over to make sure it was structurally sound before you put your seat in it, did you? You just sat down because you trusted that this thing was going to hold you. That's why we see funny videos of somebody falling over backwards in their chair, because people do things to them and they just trust they're going to work, and we take advantage of that trust sometimes. And it's funny. And Jesus is simply saying the same thing to us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do the things that you claim to trust, and you will find trust in Jesus begin to grow in your life. Why? Because you're putting into practice what you claim to believe. And that's what he asks us. That's how we develop trust in our life. You want to know another way you develop trust? Is invest in your relationship with Jesus. Because the closer you are and the more intentional you are to get close to Jesus, the more your relationship grows. That's why we talk so much about, and Pastor Randy said, that there's something important about just spending time in the presence of Jesus. There's something important about us getting together, doing what we do here on a Sunday morning. So important that we were willing to get out and get a little crazy and face a little winter weather to do what we do so that we could get here together, so that you guys could join us online safe and warm and do what we do. Why? Because there's something important in our relationship about Jesus, about being intentional to make this time happen. And the more we are intentional about showing up to this moment, the more our relationship with Jesus begins to grow, and the more we begin to trust him. The more we begin to read the Bible, the more you begin to learn to trust Jesus, because you begin to see how much of it is true. The more we pray and have a conversation with Jesus, we begin to see how much he takes care of us and provides for us and meet our needs, and that trust grows. It's like a relationship. Today is what? Valentine's Day. Men, if you forgot, like, I'm sorry. Like, you, if I'm getting the evil eye right now because you forgot, I am sorry. And I'm guessing if you did remember, like, you surely got a Valentine's Day card. Maybe some flowers, maybe some kind of gift. Why? Because you're trying to create an investment in your relationship. Because you value that relationship. And it's the same way with Jesus. If we'll make an investment in that relationship, the trust in that relationship will grow because we're showing value in that relationship. The other thing he goes on to say, that the second thing that he points out to us is commit. That there's something to be said about commitment. He said, commit everything you do to the Lord. What are we supposed to commit? Everything. Trust in him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn and the justice of your cause shine like the new day sun. Because why? Because we commit to the Lord. That one of the greatest ways to eliminate worry in your life is to commit to Jesus. But we live in this society where it seems like the ability to want to make a commitment is dwindling. Like, let me put it this way. Like, if you've been in a relationship with somebody for, like, I know this is dangerous on Valentine's Day. Like, somebody's going to be sending an email to us like, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm going to be generous and say 24 months. But the reality is, if you've been in a relationship for 12 months and you're still struggling to figure out what the next step would be, you might have a commitment issue, or you may be with somebody that has a commitment issue. I'm just saying. Like, I'm a little slow to come to a decision, but after a year, I'm pretty sure I could figure out if this is something I want to commit to or not. But we live in a society that seems to struggle to want to make a commitment. We want all the benefits of a commitment without actually having to make the commitment. I want the benefit of a college education. I don't want to commit to having to pay for the college education. I want the benefit of all the things that married people do, but I don't want to put a ring on it and actually get married. I want the benefit of what it takes to create a kid, but I don't want the commitment that it takes when I actually create a kid and have to raise them. I know, it's like, whoo. And yet Jesus said commit. That there is a value when it comes to making a commitment to Jesus. That there is something there that I think Jesus wants us to get And I think it's one way that we can help eliminate the power of worry over our life, that the surest way to render worry powerless is to increase your commitment to Jesus. Because the more committed you are to Jesus, the less influence worry will have over that commitment to Jesus. See, I had this season in my life where I went through some major health issues. And in about a 3-year period, I made 3 trips from Nebraska up to Minnesota to the Mayo Clinic. One of those trips, I was on our way, my wife and I. Thankfully, my mom had came up. She offered to take care of the kids for us. It was the middle of winter. And we got out of Des Moines heading up to Minnesota. And after we got outside of Des Moines, we ran into like a terrible snowstorm. Like you couldn't see the road in front of you. And the only saving grace I had was that I got behind a snowplow that was driving about 40 miles an hour. And I spent over 2 hours driving at about 40 miles an hour in a snowstorm where I couldn't see anything else. You talk about exhausting. There is nothing more exhausting than driving in that mess. Like by the time I got done and I got out of the car, I'm pretty sure like my hands and arms were stuck like this the whole time, like white knuckling it. But the commitment I had made to try to find answers about what was going on inside of me made me overcome any worry that I may have had in that moment about what could happen to me. Because I was so committed to something that I didn't allow worry to change my mind about what I was committed to. And I think that's why commitment becomes so important in our relationship with Jesus. Because if we could get more committed to Jesus, the enemy knows that we would worry less about the other things because we want to stay committed to Jesus. And I think that's why David in this moment would point out that it would be really easy to give up on Jesus, to give up on doing the right things, to give up on trusting him and walk away because of worry and because all of the evil that seems to be having successful moments in life right now. But instead, David said, no, let's double down on our commitment to God, even though all of these other things that are happening. And the state of this world right now should not do anything to make us run from Jesus. It should do everything to make us double down on our commitment to Jesus right now. That even though your marriage may be falling apart, it would be a great time to double down on your commitment to Jesus and your marriage, not run from it. That when your kids are losing their mind and making all kinds of bad decisions, it would be a great moment to not give in to worry, but to double down on your commitment to Jesus and praying for them through that season. That there's something truly liberating when we make a commitment in life. And we give up or forfeit that when we fail to make that commitment. I've made a commitment to my wife, 21 years strong. And you know what? It's liberating. She's not a ball and chain. Yeah. If you refer to your spouse that way, stop it. Like you're setting your marriage up for failure already. It's liberating because I don't have to wonder, does she love me? And I don't have to wonder, is she really got my best interest in mind? And I don't have to wonder, is she going to take care of me? Why? Because we're committed to each other, and that commitment has grown so strong that I don't worry about all those things anymore because I've seen how much she cares for me. And it's the same in our relationship with Jesus, that if we would double down on our commitment to him, you would realize how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he promises he's going to provide and take care of you. And that's why the enemy wants to use worry to get you to give up on your commitment, because he knows how committed Jesus is to you already. And all we have to do is look at the cross if you need reminded of how committed Jesus is to you. And we should double down on that commitment today. We should be intentional to say that is what I want in my life, is that level of commitment to him. The third thing that he says to double down on is to be still. That's probably the hardest one for some of us. He said, be still in the presence of the Lord. And wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. It's interesting that in the middle of everything falling apart around David, David said, one of the best things you can do when the world around you is falling apart is to be still in the presence of the Lord. And it almost feels counterproductive, doesn't it? Like, I know my personality. I am growing to understand myself better. And I'm a getter done kind of guy. Like, put a job in front of me, get out of my way, let me loose, and let me get it done. And so I've got lists of things that I want to get done. When I can check boxes off and no projects are moving forward and I'm getting things done, I'm at peace. And so it's really hard when I see things falling apart around me and I feel the need to try to grab a hold of everything and fix it all suddenly and bring it all back together, to just say, stop and spend a little time with Jesus. Yeah, but this and this has got to be fixed. No, stop and spend time with Jesus. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him. See, in these moments when God doesn't move as fast as I want him to, I want to move for God and help him. If you're out there and that's you, man, how'd you say, like, man, that's me. Like, I want to help God when God doesn't move fast enough for me. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I want to help him out. Yo, God, I think you may have missed this prayer. Like, I think it may have got lost in the mail somewhere. Like, the delivery system, I don't know what happened, but let me help you. That's right. God doesn't need no help because he's God. What he does need you to do is to trust in him and wait patiently for him. And I think the problem is we allow worry to move us to take a bunch of action, when what David is saying is worry should move us to be still and spend some time with Jesus. Because we end up grabbing a bunch of action that isn't fruitful and isn't beneficial, and suddenly I start grabbing a hold of everything. Why? Because really, I feel like things are getting out of control, and I grab it because I want to be in control, not out of control. And so rather than spend time alone with Jesus and trust him to be in control, I start trying to take control. And I start grabbing all of these things because I feel better if I can grab the things that I can control. And all I do is make myself more worried, more stressed, more anxious. And I never feel any more peace in those moments. I had a season probably about 15 years ago or so. We had been married. We had just had Skylin, our second kid. My wife had got laid off from her job, and we needed both incomes. And so I was working two and three jobs sometimes in order to help pay the bills and do what I needed to take care of my family. Really, instead of trusting God, I was just trying to make things happen. And I thought I had it all under control until one day I was sitting at my house, and I felt like I was having a stroke. I couldn't breathe. And suddenly, like, my chest was hurting, and the harder I tried to catch my breath, the less I could. And then part of my body started going numb, and I got on the phone. I'm like, called my father-in-law because my wife wasn't there. Like, you got to take me to the hospital. I think I'm dying. I really did. Like, in my mind, I thought, I'm dying. Like, I got a stroke. Like, I can't feel the right side of my face. I can't feel my right arm. Like, something's going bad here. I get to the hospital, they hook me up to all kinds of machines, they do tests for a couple hours, and the nurse comes back in, and I'm like, I'm dying, aren't I? Like, I'm just waiting for it. And she's like, no, we can't find anything wrong with you at all. She said, "You're having a panic attack." Like, what? Like, you need to hook those machines back up again. Like, I'm telling you, I feel what's going on inside of me. She's like, "No, I'm telling you, like, the machines are not lying to us. We've checked and double checked and triple checked. Like, you're having a panic attack." And so they gave me some medication to help me out in that season of life. And along the way, I learned a little bit about myself in that season to recognize those feelings. And I thought life was going really good until about 2 weeks ago. I had to confess to my wife, I had this moment where I felt it all coming back again. Like, I could feel the tightness in my chest. I could feel I almost can't breathe. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack, but I understand why once somebody gets started, it's hard for them to stop. And I recognized in that moment what was happening to me, and I stopped. And I sat down, and I started having a conversation with Jesus, and I started thinking about the scriptures that were going on in my head that I needed to fight all of the thoughts and feelings of things that I needed to do. And suddenly I realized, it's okay. All of those things that I thought were about to overwhelm me suddenly got overwhelmed in the presence of Jesus. And there's something to be said in this season. Hear me out. Science is proving it already, that in this season of the world that we live in this season of the economy that we live in this world of isolation that we live in, depression is skyrocketing at a level that people can't keep up with. That even school districts now are starting to see suicide rates of kids inside of their school districts more than double what they were the year prior when kids could get together in person. That there's something happening in today's world where the enemy wants to rob people of the peace and joy that God wanted to give them. And he's doing it through worry and stress and anxiety, because if he can get you worked up, he can rob you of the joy and peace that Jesus wants you to have. And I don't know about you, but it makes me angry. Amen. And it hurts my heart. And it makes me want to do what we do even more, because I know that there are people out there that need it and that need to hear this. That need to know that there's a God out there that can take control of every situation that they face, that is not worried or anxious or intimidated by what is happening in your life or what is happening in the world around you, but he already has a plan, and if nothing else, he simply wants to be present with you. Amen. And one of the greatest cures for worry is to slow down in life long enough to spend some time with Jesus. But most of us won't slow down in life long enough to do that, because somehow we've bought into this lie that I'm supposed to wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and I've got to get all these things done before I go to work. And then once I get to work, I got to do all these things at work. And then when I get off work, I got to get back home to do all of these other things too, just to go to bed and sleep for 5 or 6 hours at best and then hit repeat again. And we don't know what it looks like to just stop and rest, because we don't know what to do when we're not doing anything and it's quiet. Let me prove my point. 30 seconds.
Like, we all laugh, right? It feels weird. 30 seconds of silence. You guys thought, what is he doing? Has he lost his mind? Is he having one of those panic attacks that he was just telling me about?
30 seconds of silence. And we didn't know what to do. 30 seconds of silence, and some of you were like looking at your phone because you're like, this is awkward. Like, I got to get on Facebook or do something. Like, I can't take this. And I think that's why Jesus says that we need to learn to spend some time just being still and being with him. Because these moments with Jesus shouldn't feel awkward. And these moments of silence and getting alone with him shouldn't feel uncomfortable. But we don't know what to do if we don't have noise on in the background and a phone in our hand and some apps open and the TV on and somebody asking us questions and somebody else being there with us. And I think part of it is because, one, we're not comfortable with ourselves and who God made us to be, and two, we're not comfortable being alone with God. And we should be. We should get comfortable. If it feels weird to shut everything off, then let me challenge you. Start with 5 minutes. Shut everything off. Put your phone away. I promise the world won't fall apart for 5 minutes. Promise. Take your watch off if you need to, because my dings at me sometimes, and then I get distracted again. Like remove all of the distractions that you need to, and take 5 minutes a day and just shut everything off and spend time with Jesus. When your life feels overwhelming and you're like, man, I don't know what to do in this moment because it's overwhelming and suddenly I got to get all this stuff done. Listen to me. Take 60 seconds and shut everything off and just spend 60 seconds with Jesus. You can keep trying in your own power to get stuff done, or you can learn to be still in the presence of Jesus and let him do a work inside of you that can only be done when you slow down long enough to spend time with Jesus. We got to double down on getting alone with God and spending some time with him. We got to double down on being intentional to make moments with him. And I think if we've ever lived in an environment where worry and envy exist, all we've got to do is look around. The political climate has been an absolute merry-go-round and a roller coaster ride up and down. And some of you don't ever take the time to shut off Fox News or CNN or MSNBC to get off the roller coaster. And you keep running around over and over again. Well, good for you. We could probably use some time shutting it off and more times watching some old cartoons. That the culture we live in is creating a revolution that we don't know what to do with. That we're suddenly having this next sexual revolution that's taking place right in front of us. That we've decided that we're going to redefine what marriage is. We're going to redefine what sexual identity is. That we live in a culture that's getting drunk off the intoxicating hatred of the world around us. That suddenly, if you don't agree with me, you don't look like me, you have an opinion that's different than mine, we're learning how to hate people instead of love them. That we're learning that it's okay to quiet somebody's voice that may have a different opinion than mine, and we're saying we're doing it because it's the safest way to deal with somebody. That we live in a world that is struggling to figure out how to follow Jesus and what the Word of God means, and is becoming comfortable living with things that are designed to never be a part of our life, that are outside of the bounds of what God said is best for us when he gave us the Word of God. We live in a world with COVID where we don't know what to do. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, double mask. Do we live in a world of finances where I don't know if I'm going to have a job? Is the government going to bail me out? How am I going to keep paying my bills and taking care of my family? And all of these things up and down and up and down. And how do I be a parent and teach my kid at home when we can't go to school, when I got all of these other things? And the life just keeps moving at a faster and faster pace. And I think all of it is a design of the enemy to distract us from the God who created us. And Jesus said, in this season, you can worry about all of that stuff. You can envy those people, or you can do none of those things and you can double down on me. You can choose to trust me in this season. You can choose to commit to me in this season. You can choose to not get on the merry-go-round and the roller coaster ride that comes with it and get off and get alone and spend some time with me. The invitation is given there. That if the load you bear feels too heavy, then maybe it was never a load that Jesus designed for you to bear. Certainly not on your own, and probably not even with him. And we have an opportunity in this season to be the light, to be the hope, to be the joy and peace, to be the love that the world needs to see. But we've got to double down on some of the right things so that we can be the salt of the earth, so that we can take the message. Like Pastor Randy said last week and encouraged all of us, go and share, that we shouldn't be Secret Service Christians, that we should be out there sharing. And yes, sometimes that means sharing the testimony of what you've got, but sometimes it's going to mean you've got a smile on your face when everybody else is angry, upset, or worried, and somebody's going to say, what is different about you? Let me tell you what's different about me. Because I've got peace in my heart that doesn't come from anything this world can give. It comes from Jesus. And he wants that peace for you, and he wants that peace for me. He wants us to live in it, walk in it, breathe in it, enjoy it. So what are you going to double down on this year? Jesus. I love that. Let's double down on Jesus. What would it look like this year if you doubled down on Jesus? How could 2021 be different?
Be bright.
Yeah, be bright. We should be a bright light that shines for him, shouldn't we? That in this season, how could your finances be different if you would double down on what Jesus said? To trust him with what you've got instead of worry about how you can get more. To be generous in a season that makes no sense to be generous. To give in a season when it would make more sense to hoard. To work harder in a season where that would make more sense, when Jesus would say, no, how about you just trust me more? How could your family look different in this season? How could you begin to take time to influence them in their relationship with Jesus instead of be so busy? Maybe it starts by saying, you know what, man, we could double down and be intentional on spending some time together and having some conversations about Jesus. Sit down and have a meal together a few times a week and put the phones on the counter and actually talk to each other. Novel concept. How's your day going? What are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? What if we weren't so busy doing so many things that we actually had time to reach out to somebody and ask them how they were doing, instead of waiting for somebody to ask me how I'm doing? What if we doubled down in our relationship with Jesus and said, you know what, I'm tired of being busy doing all of these other things, and I'm going to start carving out time every day to just sit down with you, Jesus. To get into my word, to have a conversation with Jesus, to turn on some worship music. I tell you, 2021 could be different. Your relationship with Jesus could be different, but it's going to take us deciding we're going to get off the hamster wheel of worry and get off the hamster wheel of what the world tells us to keep running in a circle on, and start walking on the road less traveled that Jesus said my followers would walk on. and double down on trusting him more than we trust the government or some political figure to bail us out. Trusting him even when the doctors can't provide an answer, because he is the answer. Yes. Trusting him when you want to take control to fix all of your problems. And Jesus is saying, man, if you would just stop for a minute and wait patiently for me, I've actually got a plan for this and I'll take care of you. Trust, commit, be still, and let Jesus do what he does. That's what I want, those three things to mark my life. When somebody talks about me when I'm dead, I want them to say, man, he really trusted Jesus. He was committed to him. And he knew how to just stop and spend time with Jesus. If they said those three things about me, I would feel like, man, I nailed it on my way to heaven. If we get those three things, we'll have plenty of opportunities to share Jesus with other people. Because they'll see something different in our life that they want. And they realize is missing in their life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here watching or you're here in person, or maybe you're watching online. I know we got a lot of people doing that today. And maybe there's something about this message that just has been speaking to you, because you recognize in your life you don't have peace, you don't have joy. You realize that, man, stress and worry and anxiety and frustration dominate your thoughts, they dominate your heart, they dominate your home or your marriage or your family or whatever they may be. And maybe it's time to stop and give some things to Jesus today. And I would challenge you that if you've never made a commitment in your life to live for Jesus and give your life to him, that's the best place to start. It's to decide, I'm going to commit everything to Jesus, which includes my entire life. And when I made that decision, my entire life changed. And I believe Jesus wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to change your life. He wants to bring you peace and joy, but somewhere you got to stop long enough to commit everything to him so that he can begin to do that work in you. So if you're here in this place, or you're watching online and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before, or maybe you made that decision a long time ago, but you know you've not just been living for him and you want to make a new commitment to Jesus today, would you slip your hand up if you're here in this place? Because we just want to put a Bible in your hand right down here. We got a couple. Keep your hands up. They're going to put a Bible in your hand. If you're watching online right now, man, I would encourage you to slip your hand up as well. And there's going to be a link that they're going to put in the comments there, that if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you can take a moment to click on that link and let them know that you want to make that commitment. That if you want to pray that prayer, we want to pray that prayer with you today and help you experience the new life that Jesus has for you. Yes. Anybody else? If you raised your hand this morning, would you mind to look up here at me? Would you come up here and let me just pray with you this morning? I'd love an opportunity if you'd let me do that. Yeah, let's celebrate. What was your name?
My name's Matt.
Matt and Travis. Worth it. Best decision you could have ever made. And... And here's what I want to challenge with those of you that are watching online too. I want to invite you to pray with me, and I want to pray with those of you guys that are online, that if you guys want to make this commitment, we want to do that together. I don't believe there's anything magical about this prayer. I just believe if you mean it with all your heart, that Jesus really is going to come in and change your life. It doesn't matter what you've done up to this point, because Jesus said, I've made you new, that the old things are gone and the new has come. And so we want to celebrate that with you. We got one more. Come on down. Yes. There's always room for one more. Come on, buddy. What's your name, buddy? Weston. Oh, man. I'm happy to celebrate with you. I think it's the best when you can make the decision at your age, buddy. So we want to pray together. Can we do that? I want to invite all of you here to pray with me. I want to pray you guys that want to make this prayer commitment online. You do it as well. And let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Jesus, I need you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and make me brand new. Help me live for you. Help me to love you. And stay committed to you, Jesus, for all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's all it takes. That's it. We get to celebrate together. And I want to say this to you guys. I want to say this to those of you that are watching online. This is just the first step, not the last. And I promise you, as soon as you walk out of the door, the enemy's going to want to try to make you give up on this commitment. And all I'm going to say is, if you fall down, here's the one thing that separates us from those who follow Jesus and those that don't. We just get back up again and keep going after Jesus. Keep doing that. Keep showing up and letting us help you do that. Would you go over there and visit with those people? They just want to take a moment to get your information so we can do what we can to help you guys keep growing in your commitment. Give them a hand, Lone Star. Woo. Ain't no ice and snow gonna stop what Jesus wants to do, amen? Can we all stand in this place? I could have kept preaching. Like, I was ready for three services. Like, I mean, how many of you would say that after listening to this message that, man, there's an area in your life that Jesus is saying, I want you to trust me more with this. Or maybe there's an area where he wants you to be more committed to him, or maybe for some of you, there's just an area where Jesus is like, would you just stop and be still and trust me in this moment? Anybody out there kind of like me and say, man, I got some work I still need to do. Yeah. Can we just take a moment here at the end of service, keep our hands up and let this be a commitment to Jesus today for those that are here, those that are online, you do the same thing. Let's lift our hands up and commit to Jesus today. Father, I pray. I thank you that you love us enough on this cold and snowy day in a moment where the world may seem like it's spinning out of control. We know that you sit on the throne and you're still in control, Jesus. Be in control of our hearts, be in control of our mind, be in control of our lives. Help us today, Jesus, to trust you with the things that we're struggling to trust you with. Help us to commit to you in the places where maybe we have been wavering and we need to double down on our commitment to you. And Lord, for those moments where we just need to slow down and be still, and spend time and wait patiently for you to move. Help us to do that. Help us to double down on you this year. And as we double down on you, we're going to see our relationship with you grow like never before as we make this commitment to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We ask all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, we love you guys. Thank you for coming out here today in the middle of this. We got our prayer team down here. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, please take a moment to let them pray with you. Otherwise, we love you. We'll see you next week. Yeah.